save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of the Early Line, live right here on this Wednesday morning on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. And as customary on a Wednesday, we line up some target player props, numbers that we are looking to see and potentially attack when they are posted later in this week. Last week, mentioned Tyrod Taylor's over rushing yards, which lost because of injury, which is a shame. A real shame. I know Donnie was looking towards Joe Mixon getting into the end zone, which he legitimately does every single week. Joe Mixon, a star running back in the league here. And Donnie, I know you're looking in the running market again, though maybe not a running back here for this upcoming week.
No, and I think this one's going to make a lot of sense here. And we're going to go with New Orleans. Now, as a overall quarterback play for Taysom Hill, not that interested in his passing yards, but the one thing he does is run and run well. And the one thing you know about Sean Payton, they use him like Cam Newton and Tim Tebow back in the day, a straight snap, run him off guard in the A gap and the B gap, which is insanity, but that's what he does and what he excels at. So what I'm going to take a look at this weekend is, I think, is the perfect matchup here for Taysom Hill, because I think the New Orleans Saints are going to win this football game and win it on the ground. Also, keep in mind, it's not at home in New Orleans in a dome. It's going to be outdoor in the Meadowlands in New Jersey. We're expecting winds approaching 20 miles an hour. So that's not exactly the case where I'm saying, hey, Taysom Hill, let's really get after in the air. He's not a true passer, but can get the job done. Also, you try to take some intel from the last game and try to use it moving forward. He played the Dallas Cowboys. What did we see? Banged up his throwing hand. So again, if he's going through this week with that arm, or excuse me, that hand a little bit banged up, that means more on the ground. Also, you're playing a Jets team, which isn't very good overall, offensively or defensively. You saw Gardner Minshew and the Philadelphia Eagles come in and absolutely go up and down the field on that Jets defense, both through the air and also on the ground. So again, getting back to the ground and why it makes sense here for us. Look at the last five games for the Jets on defense. Now, they've been bad all year long, but I just want to take a five-game snapshot. I'm going to go over the rush yards per attempt that they're giving up, being the Jets defense here. Against Indianapolis, 8.7 yards. Against Buffalo, 5.8 yards. Got a little bit better against Miami. Not much of a run game from them, 3.5 yards. Houston, 4 yards on the ground. Philadelphia, 4.5 yards on the ground per carry. So if we're taking a look at last week's game with Taysom Hill, Kevin, 10 carries for over 100 yards versus the Dallas Cowboys. You can't price him like Lamar Jackson, because you don't get this opportunity very often to say, hey, look, he's coming back. He gained 100 last week. Let's put it at 79.5. That's not going to be the case. If this number is priced around the 35 to 45 range here, Kevin, which it should be, I think this is a legitimate chance that he can go over that number, because it's not out of the realm, Kevin. He gets double-digit carries himself in this game, and if they're winning, that's an extra advantage of him carrying the football in the fourth quarter as well for a quarterback.
It's such a good breakdown, and you might think to yourself, he had 100 last week. They got to post it, 70 yards. That's not how this works. That number against the Cowboys last week was 30.5. Now, that was clearly too low, and that, you could argue, was too low based on how he performed last year as the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. His four games there, 45, 49, 44, and I believe 83 overall, or finished them with a 33 spot. But again, he was over 40 rush yards in three of those four starts that he had for that team. As the radio audience enters the fold, and we appreciate all those who are tuned in to Sports Grid Radio, listening to the Early Line on this Wednesday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside talking some target player props here. I think Donnie's spot on. Look, that number is under 40. You pounce, mid-40s, you love it. I think even up to 50, Donnie, it is such a good look by you there on Taysom Hill. It really makes a lot of sense. I'm looking at a quarterback as well. But this is comparable, Donnie, if you remember when the Carson Wentz interception prop was a target player prop for me, where I said we were going to let the number guide us to where the value truly was. And it is the Patrick Mahomes passing touchdown prop. Let me read to the people the last six games in terms of Mahomes passing touchdown performances. 0-1-1-5-0-0. That five, of course, came the Vegas Raiders, playing the Vegas Raiders this week. Now, rarely do you get a superstar like Pat Mahomes, and do you get value? And I know that he put five up on Vegas, so you probably won't. If by chance, though, they hang a 1.5, I don't care what the juice is. You bet Mahomes over 1.5. They never hang that number. And yes, I know he's missed that in 5 of 6 weeks. I don't care. If it is 2.5, though, Donnie, which is my expectation, it is all about where the plus money is. If you're getting plus 125 to go under that number, you have to bite the bullet. Don't watch the game and bet the under. But I think you're going to get around a plus 130 over 2.5 here for Mahomes. And I think I would take my chances. He gets back to dominating the Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, sooner or later, you're waiting on it. The plays are there. It's just the up for the execution. And one thing that we do know about Patrick Mahomes at the 5-yard line and Andy Reid, what does he love to run? Pop passes and also shovel passes to Travis Kelce. Just no Kelce running it in or throwing touchdown passes here, Kevin, and you should be in the clear.
Again, enough of that whole direct snap to Travis Kelce or Patrick Mahomes rushing touchdowns and doesn't help people hit a touchdown in each half. Then again, he didn't throw any, so what are you going to do? If they hang Mahomes over 1.5, though, that is an absolute get-after-it kind of number. Up next, updated NFL win totals. Keep it right here on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Updated NFL win total time here on SportsGrid. And last week, we looked through these markets, a couple of AFC West teams we were discussing. I know the New Orleans Saints were a part of our conversation as well. We have a couple of teams that are towards the bottom of the standings that are jumping off the page to me. And I want to start, Donnie, in the Windy City with the Chicago Bears, the 4-8 Chicago Bears, whose win total right now checks in at 5.5. Minus 110 both ways. Now, this is really interesting because when you're projecting out, not only are you trying to figure out who they're going to play, but with the Bears, Donnie, you got to figure out who's going to be around. Is it Dalton? Is it Fields? Will Matt Nagy be coaching all 5 of their remaining games? Odds, no. Odds, yes. I'm not sure where you would land on that, but when you look at this Bears schedule and that win total of 5.5, what are you thinking?
It's very, I'm thinking it's very interesting here, and for all the reasons that you brought up, I don't think Matt Nagy is going to get fired in season since the Chicago Bears don't do that, so I don't understand that tradition where they haven't done it, so they can't do it, even though it's probably the best thing that they can do to start their coaching searching process a little bit earlier here. But let's take a look at what's at stake for the Bears. Do they go back to Justin Fields? Is he going to be their starting quarterback? Do they stick with Andy Dalton, who I believe gives them the best chance to win, even though he was a disaster in the rain against the Cardinals? But also keep in mind, Chicago Bears sit at 4-8. They're not going to make the playoffs here. So every win they get doesn't necessarily help them overall in their draft position. But also, you have a coaching staff, the professional players they're going to play. But sometimes, Kevin, the front office can take those wins directly out of the hands of the coaching staff and the players. You take a look at Allen Robinson here. Signed a 1-year deal on the franchise tag to come back to Chicago. It's been a disaster. He has a hamstring injury. Is he going out in the month of December that's going to be played primarily in cold weather markets here? and say, hey, I'm going to give it my all. And if I get hurt again, that there's a lot of question marks in the offseason when I can finally cash in and be a free agent, sign with whoever I want for big money. Keep an eye on that one, because if he does come back, that's really going to help that Bears offense. But let's take a look at the schedule here. And again, 4-8, they have to win two more games to hit that 5.5. And quite frankly, I don't think it's possible here. Going to play the Green Bay Packers on the road, that should be a loss. You play the Vikings at home, but keep in mind, the Vikings still fighting for a playoff spot and probably going to be a lot healthier coming back. Maybe Thielen's back for that game and a much more healthy Dalvin Cook. We'll see if Dalvin Cook even plays this week, but probably headed back to being healthy by the time he takes on the Bears. Then you go on the road to play the Seattle Seahawks. As long as Russell Wilson is the quarterback, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett on the outside, they're not going to win that game by going on the road there. You play the Giants at home, that's a winnable game for you. And then the Vikings again on the road, maybe fighting for a playoff shot, which you're not going to be doing that. Quite frankly, Kevin, I don't see two wins here for the final couple of games for the Bears. I would take the under on the Bears here.
So I look at, Donnie, that game against Green Bay as a complete non-factor. They're not winning that game. They're not going to Lambeau on Sunday Night Football and beating Aaron Rodgers. They're 12.5-point dog. They're 5-1 on the money line. I don't feel like that is disrespectful to look past that game here. So you're right. It comes down to the last four. The interesting thing is I think they're live in all of those games, right, as you break down those four, because Cousins is the quarterback against them for two of those games. And ask Kirk, and it's not Kirk's fault again. Like, they scored 27 against Detroit. They came back. They were great in the second half. But it just defines a way, doesn't he, Kirk Cousins? We've mentioned it a couple of times on this show. The Philadelphia Eagles needed to win a game, and then they needed the Minnesota Vikings to lose to the Bears' backups in the final week of the season to get into the postseason. And if you were an Eagles fan, you knew that the tough part was the Eagles winning that game, because Kirk Cousins was going to go out there and lose the Bears' backups, and they lost to the Bears' backups. At Seattle, I don't know what you want me to think of the Seahawks. They last week won the game, thought it was a spot they could win, but are they back? Tough sell. The Giants are, I mean, I don't even know who's going to quarterback that game. I think Jake Fromm might be tossing the rock around for that group coming in to this week here overall. The problem for the Chicago Bears, though, Donnie, is as much as I think, you know, maybe they're not that bad, they were 3-2. They're now 4-8. And the one win was by two at the gun against the Detroit Lions with a quarterback in Andy Dalton. I think both you and I say you'd prefer, if you were betting over, to start than Justin Fields. Yeah. If Fields is the quarterback here, yeah, maybe they're live, Donnie, but they could be live and lose close in these spots. So you're right. I think overall, I might say, there's a world they get two games. There is. But I don't think it's the likeliest scenario. I think under 5.5 probably is how you would look to bet the Chicago Bears right now.
No, you're right about it. And also, sometimes you sort of feel a little bit like Matt Nagy, he got a fair shake there. You know, you had your whole quarterback regime with Mitchell Trubisky. You had a playoff caliber defense, and you burned. And rightfully so, they're going to have a regime change here. But I have to say, if you're looking from a Bears perspective and Matt Nagy, you have to say to the NFL, well, what did I do to deserve this? Like, why did you do this to me? Because you got some injuries, we understand. But look at the schedule that they had where they won only one game. Pick these out. Packers, loss. Buccaneers on the road, loss. 49ers, loss. On the road against the Steelers, loss. Ravens, loss. You go and beat the Lions like you should have done, and then you get the best team in the NFC, the Cardinals, which is a loss. That is an amazing stretch of games where, what did you want the Bears to do? But this is where they are sitting at 4-8. So maybe they say, hey, we're battle tested. We're going to win some of these games down the stretch, but just a matter of letting your front office say, hey, we think you can win these couple games. They're saying, nope, these guys are going to be inactive all the way, and we want to see Andy Dalton play. Don't put the young quarterback out here, and we'll see you next year.
It's funny you do, because they got blasted Sunday Night Football against the Rams, very predictable. And they all of a sudden found themselves as a less than field goal favorite against the Cincinnati Bengals. And I remember I was team, that's an overreaction. The Bears are fine. The Bengals are bad. And all of a sudden, you know, the Bears found a way. And even though that game got a little weirdly close, but they covered that, you know, 2.5 number. But you look back on it now, Donnie. What were they doing even beating the Cincinnati Bengals, right? Yeah. I mean, they got a road Raiders. Win against Vegas. Like, they're pretty lucky that this isn't a team that sat here 2-10 with two wins against the Detroit Lions, which is why the Lions should have no wins, but only the Vikings could somehow find a way to mess that up. That is besides the point right now. Enough time, Don, I think, to bring up the Jacksonville Jaguars here. Now, this is one of those numbers. Listen, we've talked about a lot of unders. We've talked about a lot of bad teams, but perhaps that's just what fits the eye frame here. They're 2-10. The win total, 3.5. Minus 130 juice to the over. Don and Urban Meyer have two more in them.
Let's get tasty. Let's get tasty right now because we want to shut it down on the Jaguars. His team stinks, can't move the football. Everybody's giving up. Urban Meyer is going to leave for, I don't know, McNeese State next year at this point since there's no more college jobs seemingly open. But let's take a look at what the Jacksonville Jaguars can do here, right? You have two wins on the season. It's a 3.5. They need two more wins. So they have to double their output here. And I'm going to say there's a chance they can do it. Why? Look at the schedule. No. Same way we just take a look at the Bears' schedule. Like, who did you want them to beat over the past 2 months here? Yeah, Detroit. That's the only chance they had, and they got the job done. And that was a late field goal even to get that one. But let's take a look at the Jaguars this weekend at the Tennessee Titans here on the 12th. So probably not going to win that game. If they do, it would be a miracle. But then they get the Texans at home, where the Texans have now threw up the third white flag on the season by saying, we're going back to Davis Mills. Jacksonville is going to win that game here, which would give them three wins. And then here we go, Kevin, at the Jets with a legitimate chance to beat that team. What are the Jets favored by in that game? 3 points maybe here? I think there's a chance that they can beat the Jets. They're not being the Patriots or the Colts, and this should be a stone cold under 3.5, Kevin, but I think they're going to beat the Texans and the Jets back-to-back and get that fourth win and go over their win total here. Call me crazy? Yeah, I think it might happen.
I feel like I have to call you crazy. They're going to win back-to-back games.
Back-to-back. Coach of the year, maybe rookie of the year now.
They can't move the football.
Feel it.
Yeah, now listen.
I don't know.
I'm so ready to make an argument that Lawrence deserves rookie of the year in front of Mac Jones here. I mean, I had enough of this Mac Jones nonsense.
At least
I mean,
this guy threw the ball. Yeah.
This guy threw the ball three times, and people went, that's why he's rookie of the year. Huh? What are you doing out there, folks? I don't know how this ended up with Mac Jones slander, but he deserves it. Overall, if you could find a way like open leg parlay, put the money line the Texans and then roll it over to the Jets game, but I don't know how you trust this team. They might score a combined 14 points in the two games. We'll be right back here in the early.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live here on the Sports Grid Network, Kevin Walsh from Donnie Wrightside. Just finished up talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars and their chance to win two more games the rest of the way. Donnie makes some valid points. Then again, I mean, he got a lot of momentum around AEW. Could that help the Jaguars? I'd like to think so. If they have a big show tonight at the UBS Arena, could that spark the group? It's very live. It's very live. I'll give people the temperature check. I'll be live at the arena. No one cares about that. What people might care about, though, is the team that just held the Jags to 7 points, and that's the Los Angeles Rams. An 8-4 record right now and a live win total that we should still be bringing up here because it is an interesting number. It is 10.5, and it is minus 220 for the over, Donnie. 10.5. on the Los Angeles Rams. Now, I know Donnie doesn't mind laying juice, but maybe the plus money looks enticing. DRS, what do you think about the LA Rams?
Yep, I'm going to steal a bit here on the network from a couple other panelists here and be like, you know what? Los Angeles Rams, one of the best football teams in the NFL, 8-4 already. All they have to do is pick up three more wins. It should be an easy success. That's why, Kevin, we're going to take the under here on the Rams for the season at 10.5. Here's the reason why. Going to play the Cardinals this weekend. Cardinals healthy. Cardinals are going to be at home. Cardinals already wasted the Rams. That's going to be a loss here. Now, you do take on the Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson at quarterback. As I just explained, anytime you have Russell Wilson, there's a legitimate chance that you can win a football game. But I don't think the Seattle Seahawks are going to win that game. So I'm going to chalk up a W there for the Los Angeles Rams. But moving forward, the intriguing games back-to-back on the road at the Vikings and the Ravens. Both of those teams playing for their playoff lives as well. The Vikings, if we're anticipating them getting fully healthy, Dalvin Cook back, Adam Thielen back, the defense which is getting much healthier this weekend already, that might be a tough spot to play in a dome on the road. As I said, the Vikings need that one. Then you flip it over to the Ravens on the road, where you're going from a dome team on the West Coast to probably playing cold, windy conditions in Baltimore. And it's tough to beat the Ravens at home here. And then you take on the 49ers to end the season, where maybe the 49ers are playing for their playoff lives and Deebo Samuel is back and that team is a little bit healthier. It's so easy to take the over on the Rams, but in the last two games here, or last two picks that we have, the Jaguars, I'm going to go over. I'm going to go under with that juicy price here to stay under the win total 10.5 for the Rams, Kevin.
Look, I think you have but no choice to play under based on the juice at that minus 220 price. I could not possibly play over 10.5. However, if they hung 11.5, I'd be interested. I really would be. I do think the Rams are pretty good. I think they've got a good chance here against Arizona this coming week. Again, it would depend on the number, as we've often talked about here. But I think Donnie's totally fair in this breakdown. There isn't a... They don't play the Jacksonville Jaguars again. Let's put it like that. Their games against the Jags and the Texans are already done here. There is not no, you know, look-by spot on this schedule. So plus 180, fair enough. And again, those are the kind of the numbers that we always talk about you can do damage with as the season progresses there. And if they lose to the Arizona Cardinals, that's a great starting point for that bet. Let's transition, though, Donnie, off of the NFL to the college basketball landscape we go. And yesterday, there were some interesting spots overall in college basketball. I thought there was one result that really stuck out to me, Michigan putting up 102 on Nebraska. You and I watched a lot of that game following it live. I had a couple player props that worked out nicely in the game. But it every time Michigan, Donnie, scored again and again, it reminded me kind of it's silly season, right? And things are wacky, and let's take it easy here. Because Michigan's 5-3 start, Donnie. You know how I am. Oh, Michigan's not making a tournament. These guys, terrible. Juwan Howard, hot seat. Michigan's going to be fine. Michigan's really, really good. Now, it was Nebraska. They're 7.5-point road favorite. But that is a team, Donnie, that is going to continue to play better basketball as the season progresses. I thought it served as a good reminder of that. With that being said, though, there are a couple good games here on the board. I want to start, though, the Big East, Big 12 battle. West Virginia hosting UConn. And these are classic college basketball spots, Donnie. An unranked home favorite against a ranked team here for West Virginia. And I know for some people, the cap is simple as that. They'll lay the number here with the Mountaineers based on that situation alone.
Yeah, if I'm just going to take a look early in the year, that usually a situational play would make a lot of sense. But again, we're still in the silly season. So the only thing I can go off myself is the limited statistics that we do have now. So if we take a look at UConn here, top 25 in the country in offensive efficiency. But they do have some things that they can beat the West Virginia defense on. If we're taking a look at the turnover percentage, we do know pressure by Bob Huggins teams. They're number 2 in the country at turning over their opponent. But the one thing is that UConn, not that bad with the basketball, you know, in the top 100 and not turning the basketball over, so that should be an advantage for them. Also, let's take a look at rebounding here, Kevin. One of the worst teams in the country at rebounding, the West Virginia Mountaineers here. And if we take a look at the Connecticut offense, they rebound, Kevin, in the top 10% here of offensive rebound. So that is a mismatch that you can use to your advantage as well. Three-point percentage shooting early in the season here, about 38% from the three-point line here for Connecticut. And if we take a look at defense here for the West Virginia Mountaineers, they sit at 228th in the country at defending it. But so many times, Kevin, if we're taking a look at a game that we expect to be close, what do you look at here? Who can make their one-and-ones? Who's going to foul? Who's going to get it into the double bonus and earn it from the charity stripe? Simple cap here. Take a look at Connecticut, Kevin, on the season. 75% as a team from the free throw line. If we take a look at West Virginia, one of the worst shooting teams at 64.5%. It may come down to that. I see Connecticut here with the statistical advantages, but yes, you are correct. A situational play might be on West Virginia, but I'm going to buck that trend. I'll take the Huskies tonight.
And I think, Donnie, there's some good reason to do that, because while West Virginia is home and they have that big, shiny 5-0 home record, they've covered so far just once at home. It's easy to be 5-0 at home when you're playing Radford, right? It's easy to be 5 at home when you're playing Eastern Kentucky. a top 15 team in the country here changes the situation a little bit for West Virginia. It makes a lot of sense. I love these, you know, Big East, Big 12, ACC, Big 10, all those different challenges here. Excited to follow that game tonight. Two other matchups, Donnie, that involve the Big 10 as they're starting to enter some legitimate conference games here overall. And we could hit them simultaneously because there's some other spots in the NBA. I want to make sure we have enough time to get to here. Wisconsin hosts Indiana. Wisconsin now enters the top 25. They're a 4-point home favorite, down to 3.5, in fact, here against the Hoosiers. We've also got Minnesota, a legitimate home dog here against a Michigan State team that's really started to play some good basketball with their only two losses, one to Kansas and one to Baylor, earning that top 20 spot here, Donnie. Either of these games jumping off to you as we're looking at them early morning?
Yeah, I'll take the points with Minnesota in this game versus Michigan State. Might be an unpopular opinion because, yeah, Michigan State's usually the better pedigree program should they win the game, probably. But I think Minnesota can hang around. The reason being here, Kevin, sometimes you hang your hat on defense. If we're looking from a Minnesota perspective here, number one, Michigan State's turnover rate, about 300th in the country. So you might be able to pick up some of those adjusted turnovers and get out and run some fast breaks against Michigan State's defense. But also keep in mind, fouling, Kevin, from a Minnesota defensive perspective, top 15 in the country at not fouling and sending you to the free throw line. Also, take a look at this one. You know, 37% Michigan State shoots from the three-point line, which is very good. That's top 75 in the country. But take a look at the defense here from the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Number two in the country, Kevin, giving up only 23% from the three-point line. That should have a nice little advantage. And also, from an offensive perspective on Minnesota, you always talk about turnovers. You're going to hear me talk over turnovers a lot. That means if you're not turning the basketball over, you're not giving up easy points on the opposite end, but also you're getting more shots up here. 13th in the nation here, not turning the basketball over per possession. I think Minnesota can hang around. If we're looking at the Wisconsin game, isn't usually an easy cap. You always look towards the under when the Badgers are on the court.
I will say, give Wisconsin credit, Donnie. Their loss at home to Providence was one that I was like, oh, it's a pretty tough loss. Providence looks like they might be all right. This Wisconsin team beat Houston. It felt like the best Big Ten out-of-conference win early season, and they've kept that momentum about them, a 7-1 record. And to be fair, Indiana's record, 7-1 this year with their only loss, a double overtime road trip to Syracuse. It's a good test for both teams. The interesting spot, because Minnesota so far, Donnie, they've been a dog twice. They've won both games. And that includes being an 11.5-point underdog at Mississippi State and winning that game outright, which is very impressive. Michigan State, though, Donnie, 4-2 against the number as a favorite. The two non-covers, 13.5 against Toledo, they win by 13. 2.5, I believe it was against, I think, Loyola Chicago. They won by 2. So Michigan State winning this game by 5-6 points wouldn't surprise me at all. And the points would be very, very valuable, as they typically are in college basketball. Now, we'll be able to expand on this on the other side here, the NBA slate tonight. But I want to bring up a question that is circling around right now, Steph Curry. 15 threes away from tying the all-time record, Donnie, for the most threes in the history of the game. 16 from shattering the record, DRS. And they asked him, hey, chance you do it in a single game? Donnie, is Steph going to make 16 threes in a single game?
Yeah, let me see the FanDuel Sportsbook hanging a 12.5 price here on Steph Curry's made three-point shots at a minus 450 tonight. It should be impressive, but he's going to actually, over the next couple of days, really aim for that, Kevin. It's going to be fun to see it play out and what the market prices will be. And of course, most people out there say he's going to make it, but is the sharp mind starting to work saying, should just be taking the unders here, Kevin, with the pressure?
I'm starting to think the same. There is no discount coming on these Steph overs. 6.5 is his current three-point prop. What is even going on? Come right back. We break down the NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's make it happen here. NBA preview. We just set it up. The Warriors and the Blazers. We'll start right there. We'll start with Steph Curry. That's what people care about. Let's be honest here, Donnie. And it also, it's about his three-point player prop. This is all, we'll talk side total. We can do all that. Steph Curry, over under 6.5 made threes, okay? If you use the Sports Grid prop tool, which has been awesome all season long, they have a 5-star play tonight on Steph under 6.5 made threes. Steph Curry, in his last 8 games, has gone over 6.5 threes just twice, Donnie. I can give you countless pieces of information that say go under 6.5. So I ask you this, Donnie, because the juice is even on both sides of this number here. If you had to bet Steph Curry's 6.5 made three-point shots tonight, would you be betting over or under?
6.5 is just an outrageous number. But then when you think about Steph Curry, you try to put it into perspective and say, can he get it? Yes. But here's the point that I'm missing here, where there's extra juice for him to make more threes. The last time I checked, it's December the 8th. They're going to play regular season games like into April and May at this point. Yeah. What is the rush here for him to get this? If this, now this would be a fascinating market, Kevin, if there was 3 games left and he needed, I don't know, 15 or so threes, because then the pressure would be on. But if he makes 5 threes tonight, 5 in his next game, 5 in the next game, and takes it down, is he under the gun to make it tonight or do something historic? Because I would be a lot more inclined to take his over 3-point prop if, let's just say, Kevin, he was within 9 or 10 of them tonight, because you know he would want to set that record and do it in ridiculous fashion. Where I would say, do you remember the night Steph went 12 of 25 from the 3-point line and set the record, as opposed to tonight? Mm. Is there anything where, are we going to wake up tomorrow? I said, you'll probably watch it, but I would wake up and say, now hold on. Steph set the all-time record last night in that game? I don't think so. So I think, you know, the sharp mind would say take the under, because there's not pressure here. I don't think Steph's going to this game going, boy, I got to make 10 tonight because I'm not going to make 5 the rest of the season. I don't think that's the case here. But am I saying to myself, do I want to bet the under? Not necessarily.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Steph is flirting with this whole thing. There is certainly something to the whole, would you like to do it in front of your home base? Because the next 5 games they play are on the road. But honestly, just do it at the Garden. Just do it at the Garden, right? I mean, isn't that how this is all going to play out? The one pick that the Knicks absolutely had lined up, the kid from Davidson, and he went like the pick before them. I think it ended up like Jordan Hill. I mean, that's how this plays out here. I think you bet under 6.5. Cut scene, Steph makes like 15 threes and I look like a jabron. I don't care. You can't bet over 6.5. I refuse to even consider such ridiculous. Like, Donnie does the 3-point player props, right? And to give people a little bit of an idea, right? Those like minus 600 numbers are great. You throw them in, you grab a couple of them usually. And I know that, Donnie, that's where you find the wheelhouses. He's minus 650 to make 5 threes. What is, like, I really look at, like, sometimes, like, if you play, and I know people won't do, but if you play like Steph under 3.5 threes in an alt market, Donnie, and they're paying you, what, 10 to 1 on him to only make 3 threes? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because you're even settling in that you're, I mean, nobody would really want to do this. Like, ooh, Steph, twist an ankle here. Ooh, Steph, get in a fight with a fan. Ooh, Steph, get ejected early in this game. Or how about the refs call 4 personal fouls on Steph in the first 3 minutes of the game? That's basically what you're rooting for, or just to have an epically bad night shooting. Because, again, you still have to make the shots. And for Steph Curry, oh, man, he only went 2 for 9 from 3-point range. That's just being a human being at times. But that's why he's priced so high, because nobody expects it. But you're right. If you take in those alt markets, eventually you're hoping you stumble on one of those nights where he enters the fourth quarter with 3 threes made and they're up 25 points, like they could be tonight against the Portland Trailblazers.
Also, by the way, they are 14-point favorites against the Blazers. No Lillard. No McCollum. I have no idea how the Blazers force him to even stay on the court. They have played 11 road games. They've covered 1 of those 11 road games, zero of the road games that they covered have been as a dog. And in fact, they are 0-7 this season against the number as a dog. You want an alt prop, Warriors by 20 in this game. Like, they were a 15.5-point favorite against the Magic the other night. Usually you lay 15.5, and you're like, oh, all right, this could be. They won by 31. You didn't have to watch the game. I mean, they are just absolutely obliterating basketball teams right now, and you expect more of the same here tonight against this Portland Trail Blazers team. Let's look at some other spots on this NBA board here, Donnie. One of the early games that I think you'll be interested in will be Bucks Heat primetime game for folks watching on ESPN. Milwaukee, though, is a 7-point road favorite now, I'm seeing. And if you're with us on the TV side, that graphic we have shows 5.5. I actually always find that funny. It's not that we put up the wrong number. These numbers are moving, and they're moving early in the morning. Bam Adebayo remains out. Jimmy Butler already missing this game here, Donnie. What do you think about Heat Bucks?
Yeah, this you're right, and that line is going to move, rightfully so, because even though the Milwaukee Bucks are on the road, they're coming in healthy in this game, and the Miami Heat not playing great basketball and certainly playing injured basketball. So when we look at these games, what makes the most sense? You know, I usually gravitate toward the Bucks because they got some flamethrowers. Drew Holiday's going to shoot threes. Grayson Allen's going to shoot threes. Mitty's going to shoot threes there. Connaughton off the bench, always a good one here, and it was great. Well, you had Connaughton in the starting lineup for a while, just stealing points there from the three-point line. But let's take a look at the Heat and what makes sense for them. Do I think they're going to win the basketball game? No, I don't here. But if you're looking from three-point range here, Lowry, Hero, and Duncan Robinson, certainly interesting options, because the one thing that we do know, they're not all that deep on the bench. And one of my guys here, which I sort of last night, you know, went for a bench guy that has the chance to heat up here for the Dallas Mavericks. The same thing here. Max Struss, who I bet in a live three-point prop over the weekend, when he went crazy in a fourth quarter where they were getting busted up. Why? Because that's where he's going to play. So looking at this game overall, I do think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to win. But from a three-point player perspective here, I think the value is not coming on the Bucks, because who is actually going to be playing in the fourth quarter? We're not sure. But the one thing I do know, Hero, Robinson, and certainly Struss are going to factor in. So let's just say if the Heat are down 10 points in the fourth quarter, look to that live market here to make, you know, three-pointers by the bench guys. Because the starters like Kyle Lowry, they might head to the bench. Even a Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson might head to the bench. We know he's going to play. Guys like Max Struss the entire way through the fourth quarter, where they're going to say, hey, we're down, I'm going to fire away. Like, YOLO, you only live once out here. Let me shoot 10 threes in the third quarter. You can make some hay there, Kev.
I love Max stepping out, YOLO, and just cashing Donnie some props.
Donnie!
That's exactly how that'll play out. He's chanting DRS. DRS. I'll say this. I think you take the points with Miami at home and try a little buy low spot here. I know it's not sexy. I know they lost it by 15 at home to Memphis. I know they lost by 20 plus to this Milwaukee team the other day. The Heat have been a dog 7 times this season. They've covered 6 of those 7. They're at home. They're typically a team that will show up and answer the bell, and I think that would happen here tonight. At least that's how I would prefer to play it. It's a lot of points at home. I said we would bring up the game with the Indiana Pacers tonight, Donnie. It's a narrative game here. Talked a lot about the Steph narratives. What's the narrative tonight on the Indiana Pacers? Well, the whole team just found out that in 2 weeks' time, none of them might be there. Well, some of them certainly won't be there here. The Pacers are a 4.5-point favorite, though, against the Knicks team that is on the second leg of a back-to-back. The total is 211. But again, it's about the story, Donnie. Is that something where you fade the game, you bet the guys that want to be traded, you bet them over, do you bet them under, or do you just, you know, what do you do with the game like this tonight?
This is really hard, because you're right. When you just say you're open for business, Kevin, in order to make a trade, what do you need? Guys to primarily be healthy in order to make that trade. It would be a shame if you went out when you're looking in the open market and Sabonis goes down with a knee injury. So that's tough to have. But also, if you're looking from a betting perspective in this game and you want to take the Knicks, well, they just won on the road last night in Texas, and now they're going to fly up to play the Indiana Pacers here. Yeah. That's tough as it is. And then you have the angle, as we put out here, for the Pacers. What's the motivational standpoint from any one of these guys caring about, hey, I got to call a realtor, I got to pack my stuff up, I could be gone at any minute. Oh, no, my phone just rang. Is that my agent? And oh, my Twitter notifications went off. Hey, look, Shams, you said I was traded to the Portland Trailblazers. That's a tough way to think here, because just getting ready for a game is one thing, but getting ready for your livelihood and where you're going to be possibly in a few days is another. Now, taking a look from a betting standpoint, if we're looking towards three-point player props here, Kevin, I'm looking for the bench mob here for the Knicks to try to succeed tonight. You know, Derrick Rose, Emmanuel Quickley, guys coming off the bench and firing away, because typically when you have a team that played on the road the night before, yes, the starters are still going to get their primary minutes, but even if they shave off a couple of minutes from each starter, that means more bench time here. So if the FanDuel Sportsbook wants to participate tonight and put up an Emmanuel Quickley prop, I will participate in that one, Kevin.
I know Donnie is certainly going to be looking for those IQ props. Donnie is going to show up at the headquarters one day asking for George's Niang and asking for Emmanuel Quickley number. Who else? Yeah. Don, who's another one of the key guys that you're always looking for? Oh, there's some guy on the Hornets that every night you get mad that they don't hang for you.
Is it Ross sometimes? I don't hang my guy Terrence Ross up there enough for me.
Terrence Ross, I know, is another one.
If we're betting like an NBA three-point, I mean, I need this to happen here because I know the NBA guys, especially the bench guys, would enjoy this. Can you imagine being at the Garden, sitting courtside, and not even courtside where it's like, you know, you're on the opposite side. I'm talking by the Knicks bench. Quickly's checking in. Hey, Emmanuel, just took you over in the fourth quarter here to make a three. You got me? Gives that little eye wink out there. Goes out and succeeds. I mean, this is a new market for us here, which now we're talking about three. It's not like, hey, cover the line, which, no, that's a whole team effort. Hey, Emmanuel, fire a couple threes up here, man. Let's get after it. I like that. Let's go. Get the bench guys involved.
I think that is maybe a more reasonable ask of a player. I'll say this. It's all Knicks for me tonight. Remove all the situations with the Pacers. The Knicks have been a road dog five times this year. They've covered 4 of 5. What do you say? Oh, where do the second leg of a back-to-back? They went and won in Philly, second leg of a back-to-back. They went and won in Atlanta, second leg of a back-to-back. And the only other time that they were on the second leg of a back-to-back, Donnie, and didn't get the job done, 5.5-point dog to the Bulls, lost the game by 6. The Knicks keep this thing close here, getting 4.5 points. Thibodeau, this is the spot for Thibodeau, right? It's ugly. We're tired. We're not motivated. And he goes, yes, you are. Snap out of it. Let's wake on up here. Enough time, Donnie, I think, to bring up one more game. And I want to bring up Sixers Hornets because this game was just played 2 days ago. In Charlotte, the Sixers win the game in overtime. They do not cover a 7.5-point spread. What do you know? They check back. 7-point favorite. The game was a bang over before overtime. Embiid gave him 40+. What do you do tonight with the player props market? Just look to repeat?
Yeah, I guess it would. And hopefully repeating Miles Bridges, making more than 1 3-point shot in this game along with Seth Curry. I mean, you should have the shooting lines down. I doubt the Philadelphia 76ers flew back to Philadelphia and then back down to Charlotte, probably hanging out down there. You should get a more honest performance. But the guy that you got to be looking forward to now is Kelly Oubre. All of a sudden, one of those toss arounds in the NBA and so many trades, making a home in Charlotte and particularly from behind the 3-point line. Sixers should win this game. They're favored by 7. They're the better team. But something is missing with the Sixers just yet. And is it going to take another 40-plus point by Joel Embiid effort in order for them to just get a win versus the Hornets? Should be an interesting one to factor into tonight.
Look, the Embiid point prop is 27.5. I know it's not that easy, but it was easy against Charlotte. I'll look for him to keep dominating. Come back. Donnie closes out the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day for the early line. Radio on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh carrying through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it off to Ben Stevens and the morning after from 9 to 12. But as always, people, even on a Wednesday, listen up. Oh, boy, it is exhausting right now trying to put on so many commissioner's hats, but I'm going to do it again in college football, and I'm going to say beware of college football bowl season. Sure, we like to handicap these games. We like to bet them, and we like to watch them, but we'd like to watch them a lot more if they were more meaningful games behind those. Sure, the kids are going to play hard. Which kids? We'll find out shortly. And also the coaches. Some revolving doors here, like the Miami Hurricanes. You know, heading into a game where the backup assistant head coach is going to be taking control. But the reason why it's such a shame is because when you get to playoff time here, which you have the four games, Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, Alabama, they're going to take center stage. They are going to be fantastic and fun to watch. But the other games, the big bowl games that we're used to, the New Year's Day six that we're always like, hey, this is going to be really good ones here. You're seeing guys tap out already at this point. Kayvon Thibodeau expected to be a top five, maybe the number one overall pick out of Oregon. He's not going to play. You are going to get a flurry of guys that aren't going to play in these meaningless bowl games to go on to their NFL careers, and rightfully so. You can stop the madness very quickly with that by expanding the college football playoff. But also, a time-honored tradition of getting the best number possible in these bowl games is so much harder than it was just a decade ago. You don't know when these guys are going to actually commit to not playing in this game or playing in this game. You don't know who the coaching staff actually goes to be in. You don't know who's going to be suspended for the bowl game or how much these guys actually care at this point. Take a look at the bowl games on New Year's Day. Arkansas, Penn State, Oklahoma State, Notre Dame, Kentucky, Iowa, Utah, Ohio State, Baylor, Mississippi. They would be sensational games if they all mattered and were in the college football playoff. Expand the playoff. Let's enjoy bowl season rightfully the way it should be here. Guys, stay tuned for Ben Stevens in the morning after 9 to 12 radio on the Sports Grid Network. For myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh in the early line. As always, tomorrow's Thursday. We'll see you again.